Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Well, starting next month, Boston Public High School and middle school students might get a special morning wake-up call.
Wake up. It's David Ortiz of the Boston Red Sox. Get out of bed and get ready for school. Your future is yours.
That's right. Boston families can opt in for a BPS service that provides an automated wake-up call from Big Poppy himself. It's an effort to combat chronic absenteeism. That's when a student misses 10% of the school year, 18 days or more. This past year, almost 30% of BPS K through 12 students were chronically absent. A new WBUR analysis found that most of those students live at or below the poverty line. 8 out of 10 are Black or Latino, and most are teenage boys. Tanya Mosley dug further into those numbers. She's senior education reporter for Edify, WBUR's new multimedia home for education coverage in Boston and beyond, and that launches today. And Tanya joins us now. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you, Meghna.
It's great to have you. And what a fascinating report. I mean, you took a direct look at the population most affected by chronic absenteeism, and as we mentioned, Black and Latino teenage boys. Why was this a challenge particularly for them?
Well, I first like to say this is not just a problem in Boston. It's a problem nationwide. Nationally, Black and Latino males are chronically absent at higher numbers than other populations. And I like to parse this out even further. I like to look at first what's happening in the classroom and what's happening outside of the classroom. So first, I'll go with what's happening in the classroom. And there's so many different reasons, but here's one that really stands out. So we did an analysis of the data from the Federal Office for Civil Rights, and we found that Black male students within BPS are disciplined at a much higher rate and are more likely to be suspended for minor incidents that other groups are not.
Right.
And this is the case nationally as well. And there's a direct link between suspensions and chronic absenteeism. So a child is sent home, they fall behind, and then the cycle continues.
Mm-hmm.
So now let's look at outside the classroom. There's so many different reasons, but of this population of Black and Latino boys, a large percentage of the chronically absent kids are living in poverty.
Right.
They're living in unstable environments. And some of those families that they're a part of have also never finished high school. So oftentimes you'll find a mom or a dad, and often grandparents as well, who've never finished high school. And so back to this issue of unstable environments, I met with Manny Allen. He's the re-engagement manager for the Boston Private Industry Council that works in partnership with BPS. And his job is to try to help kids get back into school after they dropped out. And he has something really interesting to say about this issue of some of those environmental factors.
In other places, if you're not going to school or you're not working, you can sort of tell that, you know, your movements are not consistent with success or they're not norm. The difference between for urban youth is that there are a lot more examples to support you not moving forward.
Support you not moving forward, as he said. And you laid out some of those examples a little earlier, Tanya. But let's focus for a second, if we could, on the high school population in particular, because absenteeism, as you found in your analysis, is particularly an issue for students in high school, obviously in terms of the impact that it has on them. But tell us more about what you found.
Sure, on the high school level. So there are a couple of different reasons here that I found. So you remember when you were in high school, right? You have much more freedom. You're much more in control of your daily activities and what you do in and outside of school. There's also this issue of falling behind. So oftentimes, the Federal Office for Civil Rights also found that kids who are not at reading level by third grade are more likely to be chronically absent by the time they're in high school.
Mm-hmm.
So you get to high school and you hit a wall, essentially. You maybe you can't pass the MCAS. Maybe you can't keep up in class. And then there are also these environmental factors outside. So maybe now you're 15 years old and you want to make money. You need to make money. Your house basically is a house where you may live in a single family home and you feel responsible for being able to take care of yourself.
Right. But you, in your reporting that we heard this morning on Morning Edition, you also talked to young people who are trying to get back into school and overcome the effects of their chronic absenteeism. Can you tell us about some of the people you met?
Sure. Well, I actually talked with several young men in Roxbury who at one point or another, they were chronically absent, and then they just fell off and quit school. And one young man in particular, Omarin Khan, he's 21 years old, he told me the story of how this all started for him in middle school. He was bullied a lot. He said he was really small. He was different. He was bullied to the point where he went to three different middle schools. And then in eighth grade, he had a best friend who was shot and killed over a bike. And from that point, all of these things just coming at him at the same all at once, he just fell behind and he didn't have an interest in school anymore. So by ninth grade, he was almost 19 years old and he left to go work.
Wow. Well, Tanya, hang in here for just a second, because you've laid out a very interesting analysis of chronic absenteeism, who is chronically absent at BPS, in BPS schools, and the effects that that has. I'm going to come back to you, but we have another guest in the studio with us, Colin Rose. He's assistant superintendent for the BPS Office of Opportunity Achievement Gaps, and he also taught at the Higginson Lewis K-8 school in Roxbury, and he's joining us to talk about efforts to overcome chronic absenteeism. Mr. Rose, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me.
So, I mean, Tanya has really laid out the fact that there are particular populations at BPS who are vulnerable to this problem. How are you trying to fight chronic absenteeism in Boston schools?
Well, chronic absenteeism is an ecological problem. Just like you said, there's a myriad of reasons outside and inside of schools. So there's no one fit and silver bullet to solving it. We have some targeted programs directed towards chronic absent students that we just started piloting last spring through My Brother's Keeper and the mayor's mentoring opportunities. It's called Success Mentors, which matches one-on-one students who are chronically absent. That was currently being run at the Burke High School and the English High School for ninth grade. We saw a 5% increase in the students who were chronically absent just within 3 months.
So 5% just within 3 months?
Just within 3
months. What made the difference?
It's talking with a lot of the students, it is that one-on-one connection back to school, especially in high school. We started looking at kindergarten also, because kindergarten has a very high population of chronically absent students, but that's for a different reason. Now we're talking about engaging families.
Right.
Because kindergartners are obviously not choosing or not choosing to come to school.
Mm-hmm.
There's a myriad of reasons. That's one way that we can attack it, but we're not going to mentor our way out of this. So we have to think about, on the front end, how are we stopping students from sliding into becoming chronically absent?
Well, so let me ask you about that, because I was looking at some reporting on this from a while ago, and I found this quotation from Hedy Chang. She's the director of Attendance Works a couple of years ago. It's a national organization devoted to lowering chronic absenteeism. And she was quoted as saying, "You have to create a climate for kids so they want to go to school." It sounds like that's a little bit about what you're getting to there.
Yeah, so some of the things that are in direct control of the school system is, do we have safe, welcoming schools that are connecting to all of our students? Are our staff culturally proficient and really building relationships with students, which is vitally important, especially in high-poverty areas where students might be behind already? And then you get the issues of students that fall behind, feel disconnected to school, and then just stop coming because they're unsuccessful and they haven't found anybody to connect to.
Mm-hmm.
And so really thinking about professional development with our staff, our teachers, our leaders around these issues of cultural proficiency.
Okay. And so, I mean, how do you do that? Because the teachers are the ones who are interacting with the students day in and day out. I mean, they must have some great ideas and want to be more part of this process.
Yeah. I think it's not disconnecting pedagogy from relationships with students. I was a math teacher for a long time. In the first week of school, I realized that I really needed to get to know my families and my students. So we didn't even really touch a math problem the whole first week. We did identity. We talked about, you know, what are you as a mathematician? Who are you as as a student? And who are you as a person? So I could really get a connection with the students. And we need that mindset from all of our teachers, because
yeah.
It's the profession of teaching is not just the X's and O's of, do you know your subject? It's really a people interface profession. You need to know who you're teaching. And in regards to chronic absenteeism, because there's such a great amount of reasons why a student might not be coming to school, you really absolutely need to know the student, their family, so you can properly service what they have, because it's not just about engagement all the time.
Hang here for just a second. Tanya Mosley, I want to bring you back here, because we were talking about a couple minutes ago about how many of the students slide into chronic absenteeism because of disciplinary action and suspension mm-hmm. beforehand, and that Boston's, the picture there in Boston sort of mirrors
The picture nationally.
Yeah. So I mean, did you find in your reporting, and I'll ask Colin this as well, but, you know, what were there efforts to reduce suspension rates? And then, because that seemed like it would have an effect on then, you know, knocking down absenteeism rates.
Actually, and yes, absolutely. And actually, that's the next set of stories that I'm really looking at, is some of the ways that BPS and other districts are approaching discipline. Now it's part of the conversation. Now mm-hmm. we're really talking about some of those layers and how they affect some of these other things. You know, really, many years ago, we were just talking about chronic absenteeism or attendance rate, and we weren't connecting it in any way to some of these other systematic problems.
Right. So, Colin, I mean, tell us BPS's view about this.
Well, I want to start actually with chronic absenteeism, kind of the definition of it. So it doesn't matter why you're not there. So quite often you'll see students that have been suspended be on those lists because those days count as you not being there. We're just really concerned about the fact that you're not there for instruction for that day. So if we're chronically absent, we're missing 10% of our days, we've missed the whole month of school, regardless if it was excused, you were sick, you skipped school, you were suspended. So that's really the definition of chronic absenteeism. Mm-hmm.
So then reducing suspension rates or changing discipline so that not many kids are kept out of school would make a difference.
Absolutely. We're looking at exclusionary practices across the board. We have a new social emotional learning office where the attendance monitors are and the strategies around the discipline policy are being looked at and reviewed. And we're actually building capacity into things like servicing homeless students. Because, mm-hmm. Again, it's not just about in the classroom things. There are quite a great amount of barriers that are societal that we can actually help to overcome.
Well, we've got just a couple seconds left, but Tanya, I want to give you a chance to celebrate EDIFY.
Yes, yes,
WBUR's
right.
New education initiative. We've got 10 seconds. Tell us what EDIFY is going to be doing for listeners.
So we are covering education. We're not just telling you what's happening, but we're telling you why it's happening. And this is a story that really looks at that, like some of those issues beyond just the numbers on why we're seeing the issues that we're seeing within our schools.
And across platforms, so on the radio, online.
Online as well, and through social media. That's
everywhere.
Right.
Well, Tanya Mosley is senior education reporter for WBUR's EDIFY. Thank you so much. We look forward to having you back.
Great, thank you.
And Colin Rose, assistant superintendent for the BPS Office of Opportunity Achievement Gaps. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. That's it for today. This is Radio Boston.